You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. Listeners of the Messenger Insight podcast are already aware that in November, the International Mission Board is having a special sending event right here in Oklahoma on November 12th. But the month earlier, there's an important event connected to missions that our listeners need to know about. And to talk about that, I want to welcome two guests in today's podcast. First is Jen Seiss, who serves at Henderson Hills Baptist Church in Edmond, and then Larry McCrary, author and director of Upstream Collective. Welcome, y'all.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we're super excited to hear about this event. It's happening Thursday, October 3rd, there at Henderson Hills Baptist Church. And Jen, I thought you could begin just kind of tell us about the event in general terms and the registration, and then we'll go from there.
That would be great. We are really excited to be hosting a two-part event on October 3rd. The first one is our morning session from 10 to 2, where we'll be focusing on inviting ministry leaders and church leaders who can come and learn about developing a culture of sending people to go to the nations, preparing them and creating a sending pipeline to cultivate their progress through alternative pathways. We're really excited that we're going to have experts in that. Lunch is provided, and you can sign up at hhbc.com/upstream.
Outstanding. And if you go to the Henderson Hills website, you'll read the details on that. This workshop looks really great. And I know when we talk about the missionary pipeline, people think missions and kind of the traditional route. But Larry, you've seen God open doors with some alternative routes to missions. Could you talk about some of those key things that you're seeing in that arena?
Yeah, you know, my wife and I and our two children, we moved to Spain, almost 20 years ago. We've been overseas for the most of the last 20 years, in and out in different parts of Europe. And when we first began, we started trying to engage business professionals. And so we found ourselves a little bit ill-equipped. One, because I was a full-time vocational, you know, missionary, and so trying to find ways to access the people we're trying to communicate with, people that we were trying to have some credibility with, we were just falling short. And as we just prayed through, over the first two or three years of connecting, God just gave us about six or seven men and women who had regular jobs, lived in our city, they loved Jesus, and they wanted to be intentional. And thankfully, we have this 2.5-3 hour lunch break here in our country. And I was able to spend time with them once a month and just kind of mentoring, offering some accountability, some strategic direction, some community. And what we found was kind of this model that we were able to start, implementing in our city and other places within Europe, of finding marketplace people. And they could be teachers, they could be people that were in the marketplace, new business owners, whatever that would look like. And we would just try to provide some community, provide some mentoring and accountability and strategic direction. And we started finding the results, were amazing, because they had the credibility to be there. They had the accessibility because they were working with the people, right? And it was sustainable financially. They had regular jobs. And we just were able to kind of mobilize and equip them and kind of nurture them along. And so we've seen that. The other thing I would tell you about, and this to me is an amazing and very underused resource, is just students that study abroad. Almost in every university, there's the opportunity to study abroad. And if we just think strategically and start connecting the dots, what if we started preparing our college students to be able to study abroad, but with intentionality? And the workers on the field can provide some accountability, some community, and strategic direction, while at the same time, the students are able to, they have a reason to be there, they have, they're accessible to other people within that community, and it's an awesome opportunity to be able to serve. And we've seen that model work. In fact, my wife and I meet with students like that today, here, and we're finding this across the world, and especially in some places that are really hard to get to. Having a reason to be there that makes sense, that gives you credibility, goes a long way.
Good word. Jen, I saw that second part, the Pathways event, will be that evening on October 3rd, and students could be invited as well, again, at hhbc.com. There's more information. Yeah, I discovered recently, thinking about something like medical professionals, how they can take the talent and education and experience God gave them and apply it to living for Christ, living sent overseas. And sometimes the door is even more wide open through these non-traditional routes or non-traditional missionary. Could you talk about some of the things you've seen with that, maybe an example or a specific vocation where you see God really blessing that, someone that's picked a non-traditional route but is doing great ministry, Larry?
Yeah, I mean, a couple that I mentioned, before would be in that the student section, but also in the education sector. We have some people that we know of that are in education or in teaching, and they're able to teach in their country, but also live intentionally. So the education sector, especially English as a second language, is huge. It has been throughout the world. But the medical one that you mentioned is a great one, because what we're finding is that a lot of countries are looking for medical doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, ER doctors, I mean, a variety, run the gamut, in places that are very hard to live. And especially, having an open, vocational mission perspective. And they're looking for good people that want to do good things and that are solid in their career. And so we are seeing examples where medical professionals are able to practice their medicine, but also live super intentionally. And the reason, we kind of put this in these two different workshops, one for mission leaders, in churches or organizations or whatnot, and the other being very focused on marketplace, and that's who we're wanting to mobilize. But we try to help churches start thinking in terms of who's God placed in their church. And we develop these mobilization pools where they're able to kind of look at, okay, who do we have in the education sector, the engineering sector, maybe it's the oil and gas sector, et cetera, retirees, and kind of divide it up that way and then start cultivating it. But the reason we do divide this up is, we've identified, and we'll be going through these in the workshops, five really critical components. And the number one, very first component is that they have a sending church that believes what they're doing is a viable expression of mission. That it's not, missionary light. It's not, you're on the B team, junior varsity. What you're doing is something that really makes a difference and it counts. And God can use your vocation to be able to engage the people around the world. And so you think that's pretty obvious, but for a lot of people, both with organizations and churches alike, they don't see it always as equal. They don't see it as something that can be celebrated. But really what we're starting to see are churches, and like a Henderson Hills, our host, which is one of the reasons why we're having them, really celebrate this, and they see it as a viable expression of mission. And so that's like the number one component. And so we want to help churches do that well by creating those mobilization pools, developing a sending pipeline, and thus kind of enabling us through the other four components that are important.
Great word. Jen, I know I've heard you talk at Henderson, this concept of living sent is a vital feature. Could you talk about the importance for your church family being able to host something like this, and then maybe just a little bit more about that evening and remind us on the sign up?
Absolutely. We so our heart at Henderson Hills is to help create a culture of living scent, and we want to train and equip people to live scent here in their neighborhood and engage the nations overseas, and we want to give them a lot of different opportunities to do that. We can really increase the depth of our pipeline to engage the nations when we give them opportunities to do this in a non-traditional pathway. And so we are really excited that we are going to have experts in this field to come and share at Henderson Hills with our church members, with students that are really seeking the Lord's leadership in their life with regards to what they're going to do post-college and things like that. And we are really hoping that what this will do is help people at Henderson Hills, in Oklahoma, all over the world, learn to live scent right where they are. And we're all called to do that as followers of Jesus. And so we really want to give people opportunities to learn and grow in that area. We think that people can live scent and be effective for the kingdom right in their neighborhood. And they can also do that overseas. And we want to create a picture of the scope of that for our church and for anyone who comes to attend. That is really our heart, to just help people live scent. We're really excited about the Pathways workshop, especially because we at Henderson Hills really believe in this non-traditional path. We really believe that people are equipped and educated and trained in so many specialized areas that can really give them an in areas, like Larry said, that are hard to get into, but it gives them credibility if they're a teacher, if they're a physician, if they are a business person, if they are an accountant. It gives them a different kind of access. And if you go somewhere and you can answer the question, why are you here, with a purpose that's related to business, education, medicine, things that people in that country can understand, it gives you access to people in a really beautiful way, because you can invite people into your home when you're a doctor who lives in that community. You can invite people into your home when you are a teacher. You get to build relationships with people with a purpose and undergird it with kingdom work.
Great word. Check it out, hhbc.com. And one thing I loved about the way this was presented is, even if you're just kind of interested in hearing more, you can come attend this evening session and find out more. I was talking with some missionaries the other day at an event and wanted to ask them. The children's ministry asked them, how did you get into missions? And each person they talked to said, God called me. And then you went one layer below. What did he use to call you? And for one, it was VBS. For another, it was reading of the Word. Another, they were part of a missions-minded church. Another factor we hear often is Baptist Collegiate Ministry or OBU or Falls Creek, these kind of things. Larry, what are some factors you see that are being used by God to kind of get people thinking along these lines? Obviously, we hope and pray and plan for this event to be part of that, but what are some important factors you see that go into people's decision to take that step toward missions?
I think what we're seeing, I mean, the two-side part of it is the church that believes in it and provides a lot of different opportunities. And so whether that's short-term trips or what we call midterm missions, where people go for a semester or they go for a year, you know, or you know, and they maybe do a business internship, you know, so a church being able to provide solid opportunities. And then the other piece, it would be the field receiving and, you know, asking for strategic opportunities in short term. You know, I've also been in meetings where there'll be, you know, hundreds of people and the questions asked, you know, that these are all vocational missionaries. How many have been on a short term trip? And almost 95% of the people that served in this one setting I observed had been on a short term trip. But I would just add, and just kind of, it's an ethos change. It's a mission conviction that Henderson Hills and a lot of other churches have it as well, is that you can live scent no matter your zip code. And if you start thinking that way and you start discipling that way, as people, as their worldview is, you know, kind of broadened and they have opportunities to do the study abroad somewhere, as most colleges would do, or maybe they take a short-term trip or they take an internship, which we'll be kind of talking about internship possibilities, doing a variety of different things. Often we see people that come and serve for that 1 week to 3 month piece God using that in a tremendous way to open their hearts to do it, you know, for a longer season in their life. And so, and again, for me, there's some that are called to be vocational missionaries, disciple makers, you know, and that's their vocation, and that's their all-in job. But others, and as we see it from the beginning of the New Testament, it's not a new thing. Like with Aquila and Priscilla, they took their profession, and no matter where they lived, and you can track throughout the book of Acts, as Luke talks about them, they used their connections, their tent-making skills to take the gospel, to have a church that met in their own home, to disciple people. And I think the churches that start providing those opportunities, we start seeing an entire new realm of people that are going out in a variety of settings.
Thank you for sharing that. And the event again, Thursday, October 3rd. The first part is for mission leaders, pastors, ministry leaders, and then the evening session, Pathways, for people exploring or thinking about these missions. I want to commend and thank Henderson Hills Baptist for stepping out, making this event possible, a free event. And please look at that registration link at hhbc.com. Jen, Larry, thanks for coming on the podcast and talking about this today.
Thanks so much for having us, Brian.
Yes, thank you.
God bless you, and we'll be following this event here at the Baptist Messenger. Sign up to receive the Baptist Messenger podcast on Spotify or in the iTunes store. Thank you for joining us.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.